Welcome back. On our show today, we'll talk to author Sumaya Hussain about her book, Blackout. Blackout takes young readers through the experience of a Syrian refugee in Canada. We'll talk to her about how the idea of this story came about and get more insight from her on the actual story itself. We'll also discuss her other books she's published, Littering Stinks and 100 Ice Creams. Sumaya, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So how did the idea of writing a book about the Syrian-Canadian refugee experience come to you?
Okay, so basically, most writers will tell you the ideas kind of come out of nowhere. But I had this idea. It came from a discussion with my husband. We were talking about this idea of having two young boys from different worlds coming together, one from, let's say, a privileged background and one from an underprivileged background. And the idea was how can we show the underprivileged child and how he sees everything that the other kid takes for granted and thinking that it's so amazing. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the core idea. And
so it didn't necessarily spark from, you know, the Syrian refugee crisis and all of that. It was sort of an idea that you guys were thinking about.
Yeah, it was the idea was kind of more general. And then I thought of how can I make this work? I mean, people from different backgrounds, they don't come together that often. Yeah. So I was thinking it would work if they were cousins and they were it just kind of fell into place that they would be Syrian. One would be raised in Canada. The other would be raised in Syria. And he's gone through lots of problems and war. And therefore, he's gone through a lot. So... And of course, at that time, there were lots of Syrian refugees coming to Canada. So it kind of all fell into place, and I thought it would be a great story.
Perfect. I know. So tell me a little bit. Give me an excerpt from the book.
Oh, just like a quick summary.
Yep.
In the story, the main character is Yusuf, and his cousin Ahmed is coming. Came from Syria. And he's really excited. Yusuf's really excited because he's going to teach him all about Canada, and he's going to do all the winter sports with him and all this stuff. But the day that he comes, there's a blackout. There's an ice storm, and there's a blackout for 3 days. So in the
beginning, which did happen.
Yes, of course. I lived through that.
Yeah.
And we're really spoiled, and we're just like, oh my God, this is horrible.
Yeah. You know, what are we going to do?
What am I going to do? Yeah. I can't eat anything. I can't make anything on the stove. It's so horrible.
Yeah.
So the second day, like the first day is kind of like fun, and oh, this is interesting and weird. The second day, he gets really frustrated. So this is the part where, this is from the second day, and it's just kind of Yusuf kind of really frustrated. So that's the part I chose.
Sure.
And showing how Ahmed connects to him at that point. So he's sleeping on the couch in a really bad mood, and he wakes up, and he finds his parents lugging bags into the backyard, okay? And basically, they're taking meat from the freezer into the backyard to keep it from spoiling, because they're putting it in snow and stuff like that, and ice. Yusuf frowned. It looks like they're not expecting the power to come back anytime soon, he mumbled angrily. This is one adventure I wish would end right now. Ahmed looked silently into his face. There was no trace of a smile now. Suddenly, all of Yusuf's frustration spilled out. He wasn't going to keep it in any longer. I had all these great plans of fun things we'd do together, but instead we're just sitting around feeling cold and miserable, he cried. I'm just so tired of this whole thing. I want my life to go back to normal. He crossed his arms over his chest and blinked back his tears. Ahmed closed his eyes and sighed. For a moment, he didn't say anything. When he did speak, Yusuf could barely hear him. I wish my life could go back to normal, too. Yusuf looked away. He wiped his eyes with the backs of his hands, then crossed his arms again. Ahmed continued in a low voice, as if he were talking to himself. Before the war started in Syria, the only thing I worried about was getting good grades and improving my soccer skills. He had the same faraway look that Yusuf had seen in Aunt Amal's eyes the day before. Then everything changed. Suddenly, I was worrying about whether my house would get bombed while I was at school. I worried about the food supply, the price of bread, and whether my parents and I would have enough money to get through the week. Yusuf shifted his eyes to his cousin's face. At first, I felt scared all the time, Ahmed continued. And then I started feeling angry. I wanted things to go back to the way they were. Our life was good before. We never felt scared. And all that was taken away. He sighed. But Baba helped me see things differently. Yusuf uncrossed his arms. The frustration boiling in his chest had calmed a bit. What did he tell you? He asked, remembering again the face in the picture. He said things always happen that we can't control, but God will only hold us responsible for what we can control. Yusuf was puzzled. Like what? Like our reactions, replied Ahmed, like looking for something positive in all your misery, like helping someone who has it harder than you. Ahmed folded his hands in his lap. In one of the refugee camps, we met an old woman who was all alone. She didn't have any family members to take care of her. Mama and I would visit her every day and listen to her tell stories. Yusuf was quiet. All that remained of his anger seeped away. Something else was on his mind now. He was thinking about the old man who lived next door. His wife had passed away a year ago, and all his children had grown up and moved away.
I think that's such a powerful parallel that you talked about, where, you know, you were talking about trying to relate the two stories, and he's able to relate and sort of understand his experience. So I think I have an inkling of this, but I'll leave it to you. What is the core message of the book that you were trying to convey through it?
Yeah, the message of the book is just to be more aware of what you have and to be grateful for it. Like most, I mean, everyone is guilty of this, that we take for granted the things that we have. And even the simplest things, we just don't even see them anymore because we're used to them. The fact that we have electricity all the time, the fact that we have running water, the fact that we're safe and we're not being bombed. You know, things like that. We're just, you know, we get used to them, so we don't see them anymore.
Is this based on a true story?
There are elements of the story that are true, in that they're based on things that I've heard and from friends and colleagues and so on.
About the Syrian experience,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. But overall, it's a fictional narrative, and characters are fictional.
Now, I know you had a concerted effort to make sure you incorporated the Syrian voice at their lived experience. So how did you do that during the process of the actual creation of the book?
Mm-hmm. So first, a couple of things. I would say three things. First of all, just the details that I put into the story, a lot of them were basically pieced together from stories of people that were around me. I was working at a school, and a lot of my colleagues were Syrian, and I saw during the conflict how they were, all of them were personally affected in one way or another, and it was, you know, in a really deep way.
So, and this is when you were working here, or?
Yes, when I was working here in Toronto, and so that kind of became part of my experience, and then later on, it kind of made its way into the story. The second thing is, after the story was written, I made sure that a lot of Syrian Canadians read it, so that, you know, we could make sure it's like authentic. There's nothing off. There's nothing that seems fake or, you know, overly dramatic or insensitive or anything like that. So, and the third thing is that we were, you know, thank God we were able to find a Syrian illustrator.
That's amazing.
We spent a lot of time trying to find a Syrian illustrator because we wanted the illustrations to be kind of authentic, and at the same time we wanted the person who did the illustrations to benefit financially from the book.
So, and are there illustrations just on the cover, or do you have illustrations incorporated throughout the book?
No, they're throughout the book. So it's a chapter book. It's not too long. It's about 70 pages. Mm-hmm. So there are, you know, every couple of pages is an illustration.
Now, what kind of feedback have you received from the book?
All the feedback we've gotten so far is really good. A lot of parents, maybe they might be worried by the subject material, or that they might, you know, it might be inappropriate for children or anything like that. But we peg it at age 8+, and the content, like the details about the conflict in it, are kind of muted and kind of told from the perspective of a child. So it's age appropriate, and it's a way to bridge the gap between, you know, not knowing if you should keep your kids in a bubble or, you know, expose them to what's happening in the world and have them be traumatized. So it's kind of, you know, I think it's a good conversation.
And I also asked that because I remember when the first start of the book came out, I remember seeing online where I think you guys actually posted and asked if a book about Syrian Canadians came out, would people actually read it? And clearly it sounds like online at that time too, you got positive feedback on it.
Yeah, a lot of people were interested in seeing what would come out of it.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you hope the author would benefit financially as well. So where did the proceeds of the book...
The illustrator?
Yeah. Where do the proceeds of the book actually go, and how do people benefit? Or how does the illustrator as well benefit from it?
So the illustrator benefits in the sense that she was paid for her illustrations rather than any random person who has no connection to this. And she's living in Syria currently, and the situation she's living in is similar to some of the character's previous experiences, so she was really motivated to finish the project, so that was great.
And that's really powerful even now, right, that the book is out and all, like, you're able to pay her, so that's amazing.
And the other thing is
in terms of, I guess, where do the proceeds go?
Yes, all the proceeds for the that come from the book are going to go to the Syrian Canadian Foundation, the Mental Health and Wellness Initiative.
And that was this something that you thought of right in the beginning, or how did that idea even come about as well?
Well, I would say for the publisher and I, we kind of talked about it, and we agreed that it would be a great thing for, like, a book of this nature to kind of benefit not just, you know, ourselves, but benefit, like, other people who maybe needed it more.
I think that's really powerful. I know I want to buy it and take it from you right now, but I won't do that. I know this is your third book, so tell me a little bit about some of the other books that you've written, all, I think, very powerfully and phenomenally in, I think, a year, right?
Yeah, I had a year off from my teaching career, and everyone knows that teaching kind of swallows up your life. So once I had a break from teaching, I really delved into writing, which is what I really love to do.
So tell me a little bit about the other books that you've published.
Okay, so my first book was called 100 Ice Creams.
Mm-hmm.
That's
very
it
cool.
Right there. And basically it's a story of a family that goes to the park, and they the playground's very busy, and they you know, so instead they go to explore a forest nearby, and it's so peaceful and so quiet and so beautiful that it reminds them of paradise, and they have a discussion about paradise and all the things that they would like to see there. And one thing that the girl wanted to see there or have there is 100 ice creams every day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So that's how the title came about.
And your other book, I know you're about to, that's recently been published, launched as well?
Yes, this one has just been launched. It's called Littering Stinks. And basically it's about a girl who moves from a really clean town to a really dirty town, and she's so disgusted, and she wants to figure out how to change it and what she can do about it. So, like, I really wanted to write something that empowers young people to, like, try to think of something to do and just instead of just complaining.
I think all of these books, you know, this is about being environmentally conscious. Your other book is about thinking about paradise. These are all bigger topics and themes. Are these, is this something that you want to continue on about, you know, children's books and sort of having those elements?
Definitely. I think every story starts from some kind of deeply held belief or deeply held idea,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you want to benefit people in some way. So hopefully there are many more to come.
Definitely hope so. Where can people go to purchase your books?
Okay, so these two, 100 Ice Creams and Blackout, they're available through Ruqayya's Bookshelf, which is the publisher,
mm-hmm.
and that's www.ruqayyasbookshelf.com. And this one, Littering Stinks, is published by Compass Books, and it's going to soon be widely available, like on Amazon and other places, but currently it's available at the ISNA bookstore, at the ISNA Canada Centre in Mississauga.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And I look forward to having you back in a few years when you have more as well.
Thank you so much.
Hey, YouTube. We hope you benefited from this video. If you liked it, or if you didn't, let us know in the comments below. And if you're interested in learning more, check out some of our other videos. And don't forget to subscribe so you can get new videos every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.